He was in peak form, but getting hit repeatedly during a long day of classes had a way of taking it out of a guy. Blaze entered the building and hit the stairs. The polished wood was smooth beneath his boots as he trudged up. The Sutton building smelled old. Not bad old, but the kind of old that came with history. It was bigger than it appeared, longer rather than wider, and older than any place he'd ever lived before. Doc Sutton's offices took up the first floor. There was a front entry with a staircase on one side that went up to the second and third floors. There was a corresponding entry and staircases in the rear of the building. There were two apartments per floor, or would be when the third floor was renovated. The Suttons could have probably made four smaller apartments on each floor, but they hadn't, which is how Blaze ended up with nearly 2,000 square feet. Bigger than he needed. But he liked the location and the rent was reasonable. The other guys had chosen to live in the two farmhouses on the property, but Blaze liked his own space. Needed his own space when the nights got bad. He pushed the thought away in case it called up a nightmare. He hadn't had any in over 2 weeks now, and he didn't want one. The building still had original features, like plaster moldings and wood floors that looked hand-scraped, but were naturally aged from years of people traipsing across them. It was on a corner, which meant he had windows on two sides. He could see the road leading into the historic district and the rear parking lot with all the quirky buildings that perched around it. A bail bondsman, a law office, a store that sold incense and hosted seances from time to time. Colleen Wright was a kooky old lady, but harmless enough. She'd stopped him and the dog one day and told him not to upset Melvin. When he'd inquired as to who Melvin was, she'd informed him that Melvin was the ghost who lived in the Sutton building. So far as Blaze knew, Melvin was happy. Blaze had never heard a chain rattling or a spooky voice groaning in the night. He didn't expect he would, either. When he reached the top of the stairs, a small shape nearly plowed him over. Emma Sutton squeaked as she skidded to a halt. He steadied her with his hands on her shoulders, not quite missing the way she stiffened. He let her go, and she stepped back to put distance between them. He hadn't seen her since the robbery a few days ago, but his palms tingled with that brief contact, his hands itching to touch her again.
She'd stopped at the Gas and Go to give herself more time before she had to face her parents. Her mother would have cooked a big pot of soup or stew today, but Emma had wanted pulled pork. She'd had a hankering. They didn't have real barbecue in Chicago, at least not to her. Sure, there were people all over this country who worshipped at the altar of smoked meat these days, knew how to cook low and slow and put their own spin on the food they made. But there was nothing in this world like a little barbecue shack tucked away in a gas station on a rural Alabama road. She'd been craving it since she'd crossed into Tennessee earlier today. Last thing she'd expected was to find herself in the center of a robbery. If Blaze Connolly hadn't showed up, she didn't know what would have happened. Maybe the robber would have succeeded in shooting them all before he took off with his bag of cash. Emma slowed the car to a crawl as she drove past the Salty Dog Tavern. Her bestie was part owner these days. She and Aurora Harper had been best friends since they were in Sunday school together as three-year-olds. Maybe even earlier than that, come to think of it. But her first memory of Rory was when they were cast as shepherds in the nativity play, and Rory kept waving her shepherd's crook around like it was a sword. The adults had howled as the play went sideways. Rory kept waving and Emma joined her. So did Rory's brother Theo, who was 2 years older, and maybe should have known better. These days, Theo owned the other half of the dog and ran it with Rory. They'd been close as kids, and still were. Emma's fingers tightened on the steering wheel. She'd been a bad friend the past 4 years. She tried to keep in regular touch with Rory, but the ER had been hectic. Their daily calls and texts had dwindled to monthly texts by then. The rare occasions when they talked, Rory acted like everything was fine, and she was happy they were connecting. But Emma still felt remorse for not being a bigger part of her friend's life during those years. They'd been texting again since Emma had decided to come home, and it was like they'd never stopped. Tomorrow, she'd go see Rory at the farmhouse she'd inherited from her grandparents. Theo lived over the tavern because he preferred it, and Rory had the house and worked on renovating it in her spare time. Emma couldn't wait to see it. But first, she had to face her parents. Her heart squeezed with fresh guilt. There was nothing bad about seeing any of the people she loved. It was her. Her guilt for staying away while she worked on her career, for wanting to. Her shame for what had happened to her. None of them knew about Simon.